Welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled, multicultural church in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find out more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas on the web at themissiondelray.com.
Feeling good today. We're going to have kind of a different service, but I'll talk about that in a second. Oh, man. Whew. All right. Glory. Feeling good. Hold on. I'm trying to get my bearings here. I want to make a special announcement. We have a special guest speaker next week. I am going to be here because I want to get some myself. We have a special guest speaker. I hope you come and receive the word of God. Minister Diane St. Salvaire is going to be preaching. It's going to be good. It's going to be anointed. I'm excited about it. God's got a word for the house, and some people are upset about it. I'm guessing they're in Mission Kids, but we'll have a recording of it. Hallelujah. Came back from the mission trip. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. I'm pretty excited about it, but we're going to finish up our kingdom series today. If you got a Bible, if you go ahead and turn to the 1 John. For those of you who are new, I am Carl Thomas. I'm the lead pastor of the mission. I'm excited to have you here today. I am loving Jesus and happily married to my wife. Glory to God. You can't just take that for granted. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You know, I'm up here because I like it, not because I can't find another job. Oh, Jesus. So we've had a good time in our kingdom series. Me, at least, I've had a good time because I like to preach, and I was the one preaching it, so that was pretty fun. But it's been a great series. Hopefully it's kind of shifted your thinking about what we're doing here and what our call is and why we're here and what our citizenship is of and what we can expect. Today we're going to close it out. I got a brief message, and I want to share some testimonies. I want to give time for testimonies. We don't have a lot of testimony services these days. And we're going to do a testimony, kind of a testimony service. We're going to have testimonies from the mission trip. I had a bunch of missionaries see just a whole bunch of great stuff. So my floor is squeaking here, but I'm going to try not to be distracted. Amen. Y'all feeling good? Glory to God. Okay, let's do this. 1 John chapter 3. Can I say this first? I'm just kind of wrestling with something. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We saw just, there's this saying, I want to go higher in God. You know what I mean? I want to go higher, and I understand it, but I'm seated with Christ. If I go any higher, I won't be seated anymore. You know what I'm saying? I like where I'm at in Jesus. I like being seated with Christ. I like, I was getting ready to come up here, and the Lord said to me, he reminded me of something I knew and I repented of years ago. He said, you know why there's not more revival in the church today? And when God asks you a question, he's not really looking for information. In case you didn't realize that, you don't have to like come up with the answer for him. He's now trying to draw something out of you. So he wants you to, and I was like, why, Lord? Because I'm smart like that. I just know not to think I got it, something to teach God. He said, spiritual pride. There's spiritual pride. And I was trapped in this cycle for years of thinking, I'm in this special church. I'm going to get touched from God because I'm around the special people, or I got the right place, or I got the right whatever, and I got the right heritage, and I'm people wish they were as anointed as the house I'm in. And I remember when Tracy and I encountered just a real strong teaching on spiritual pride, and it took about 5 seconds to hear it, and we're like, good Lord, Jesus, search my heart and make me clean. We went to Nicaragua, and I told our team, I said, so many people think they go to it because people are economically disadvantaged, that they need what we got. And Jesus is with the poor. And it's so easy to be prideful and think I'm going to go and change a nation, when you can't even change your family. Or, you think that, the reason that people in the world can't receive from you is because you're too deep. The gospel's simple. People generally don't receive from you in the world because you're prideful. And last time I checked, he resists the prideful and he gives grace to the humble. And for years I thought, I was just of this mindset, you know, people can't receive because, you know, we're so deep and most people can't. If most people, nah, I'm not going to do that. Thank you, Jesus, though, that you're good and you love us. And thank you, Lord, that I'm not perfect, but you are. We had a great friend we were ministering to, and I'll show you him on a video in a moment. And he kept saying, I can't get water baptized because I'm not good enough yet. And we thought he was going to come finally get water baptized. He's like, I'm not good enough yet. I said, you know what, Silvio? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. And when God shows you, you don't have to be good enough, then get water baptized. That's the key. Then you'll encounter grace. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 8. We're going to end in verse 8 too, so you know you don't have to go too far. 1 John 3:8 says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Now, here's what I want to focus on this morning, this next sentence. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Let me read this again. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I've talked greatly about my original ministry when I first got saved and deliverance and how just unbalanced it was. And, you know, I feel like John in here is really giving us some balance for the church in our purposes and why we have giftings. There's so many Christians who are so fascinated with the demonic, they chase after demons everywhere. And they try to look for roots, and they look for causes, and they look for curses, and they constantly, you know, how many know, the more you stare at the devil, the more you see of him. I'm trying to see less of the devil, personally. I'm not trying to see more of him. I saw lots of him before I got saved, without recognizing that's who I came to the dance with, and that's who I was dancing with. I did not understand that until I got saved, and the Lord lifted the blinders from my eyes. It gave me some level of discernment to say, what do you know? My life was demonic, and now I'm in Christ. I've been over there, think I'll stay over here. Been to their hood, didn't like none of their people. We got beef now. I'm just going to stay over here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't go over there anymore. You know, when I lived in Alaska for a season, and I lived on the island of Kodiak, and Kodiak has the largest bears on the planet. It's the Kodiak brown bear. Are the largest bears on the planet. And when I would come back to the continental U.S., people would say, you know, did you see any Kodiak brown bears? I was like, no, I didn't see no brown bears. I found out where they were, and I didn't go there. I could tell you where they are on a map, but I don't go where the bears are. We're not, what am I going to do with a bear? You know what I'm saying? Like, they already have pictures of them, so if I want to see, I can look at a picture. They got one stuffed in the airport so I can see how big they are. That was enough for me, personally. Right? So people come into Christ, and then he's like, oh, wow, what do you know, demons? And they was one of, now that they're in Christ, they want to, I just, you know. And John, he's like, look, okay, there is a devil. He's bad. He causes people to sin. What's your role with them? To destroy whatever they do. That's your role on the earth, to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't say Jesus Christ was made manifest to judge men. Doesn't say it. Doesn't say that Jesus Christ came so you could feel more spiritual than all your friends. Doesn't say Jesus Christ came so you can tell people you got the best church in America. Jesus Christ came so you can get rich. Jesus Christ came. No, Jesus Christ became manifest to destroy the works of the devil. He did not come so that we can attribute the works of the devil to God. Oh, I see you're sick, but, you know, the Lord knows what you can handle. He knows you can't handle sickness. That's why he had Jesus take stripes so you could be healed. He came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil came to steal, kill, destroy. Seems like the sickness is destroying my body. Can't be from God. Jesus came to destroy that. Glory to God. Here I am. In the church today, it's like we can start to lose focus on why we're in this kingdom and what we have in it, why we're citizens of the kingdom, what we're supposed to do as citizens of the kingdom. We received citizenship so we can do something with it. Jesus came. Remember, when he first publicly announced his ministry in Luke chapter 4, he quotes the verse from Isaiah, right? He opens a scroll, and he opens a scroll, Isaiah, and he looks at it, and he says this in Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 17. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Notice that. He came to give away stuff. The Lord, what he's saying is, the Lord has anointed me to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. I mean, that's our purpose. And it is wonderful. And if you're saved and you're in the kingdom and you're happy and you're going to heaven, and if that's good enough for you, I can't say that you're wrong, but I'm preaching today to those who think there's a little bit more God has for their life. If you're going to hell and you get saved and now you're going to heaven, that's good. I'm glad. We'll party in heaven. We'll chill in heaven. We'll rest in heaven. We'll worship together in heaven. But between now and then, I got some things to do. I'll get time to rest in Christ. I will rest when I'm dead. I don't got time on this earth to amass riches. I got riches in heaven. And can you imagine when you get to heaven, when we talked about this last week, you know, where gold is so plentiful, they paved streets with it. Can you imagine all you amass on earth and you get to heaven, you compare it to the riches of heaven? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's like you go into a third world country and you're like, let me show you your whole saving. And they got like, you know, 19 quarter of us, you know, and you're like, all right, well, that's, you know, almost a dollar. That's wonderful. I'm glad that you haven't eaten in the last month to save that. But here's $100. Bam. You're like, wow, I just wasted all this time scraping this together for nothing. And we spend our lives amassing these little nothings, these just nothing on earth. This, anything you can produce out of your own strength, the Bible says, is nothing. And we spend our lives scraping together this nothing. And we get to heaven, and we're just so excited about what we were able to accomplish, and then we see the riches of heaven. Wow. That I just wasted, you know, 60 years. You know, I'll never, you know, you will never, ever, ever have an opportunity to live 2011 again, and it's half gone. You'll never have an opportunity to be where you're at right now again, and it's half gone. This year, it's half gone already. And you'll never have an opportunity to minister to your friends or your relatives or your neighbors in July of 2011 again. It's gone. It's gone. And in one day, we're going to cross over, and the Lord's going to say, all right, I gave you blessings. Let's see what you did with them. Open the book, 2011. What'd you do with it? Well, I got a better job. And, you know, that Wii I was saving up for, I got it, and I got the high score. I was the highest score on my block. How many hours did that take? Let me just write this down. Well, you know, I played about 3 hours a day, you know, for no more than 9 or 10 months. Okay, and what, I got a high score. Great. Got my body fat. Got it from 7 to 6.5%. I went to the gym 2 hours a day, 4 times a week. I went there. I just ate the right foods, Lord, and I got that body fat down 0.5%, Lord. Don't I look great? Aren't I awesome? I know Michelangelo's here. Would you like to have him carve another thing of me next to David? Look what I accomplished, God. Like, wow, okay. When you receive your glorified body, how's that going to compare to you? You hear what I'm saying? We spend our lives pouring into things that don't accomplish anything for the long term. And this isn't a rebuking word. This is a word of encouragement. This is a word to try to just see, what am I living my life for? And I'm a little older than many of the people here today, you know, and I'm now 40. And I'm looking, I'm like, you know, a third of my life is gone. You know, I like to believe. You know, I like to just think. A third is gone. And, you know, I'm young. It's funny. 45 is getting younger every year. How many know what I'm talking about? It looked old at one time, but it's, my God, that's young. I didn't, thank you, Jesus, for opening my eyes that the scales have come down. I'm youthful, I'm feeling. Youthful. And, but it's like, I'm 40. You know, you look at my kids. My kids are 10 and 8. My son's going to turn 11 soon. It's like, you know, more than half my son's childhood is gone. And I realize you got till about 15 or 16, and then their character is set. You know, and I thought for years that I was going to be an itinerant, and I would cry out to God, and then he had me start a church, which wasn't really in the plan. And then I'm just so thankful because I get to raise my son. Now, I'm never going to, I mean, you can't go back and do that over. You know, when we had Isaac, people told us, you know, hey, you know what? The woman's supposed to stay home and God will bless it. And I know she's working and God will replace that income. And I'm here to let you know, we're still waiting for that replacement. And he's 10. We're still waiting. But we sacrificed. We scrimped. We saved. Well, we didn't really save. You got no money to spend. You're not really saving. You're just not spending because there's nothing to spend. You know what I'm talking about. I'm living a frugal lifestyle. You don't have any money, do you? No. Okay, you're poor. That's the word for that. Frugality is called poverty. Okay, I'm with that. You know what I'm saying? But it was a choice we made. I mean, and if you got to work and you got your kids in childcare, please don't receive condemnation. I'm not judging you at all. I'm not. Please. No, I'm not. But for us, we felt like, you know, Tracy needed to stay home. And she stayed home for years. And we had Anastasia, and she stayed home, continued to stay home. And we were really, really, really poor. But to us, we're like, who's going to raise my kids, preschool or us? You know, I mean, who's going to teach my kids birds and bees stuff? The baby's kids at aftercare or us? Come on. Come on. Who knows what I'm talking about? Hello. You know, I'm like, who's going to do these things? That we put a value on our children and our legacy. And are our kids perfect? Of course not. I just wonder what would happen if we didn't do this. You know, the Lord is perfect. You know, we spend enough kids time with our kids. We like them. We like our kids. I can't say that for everybody because we raise them, you know, but we're here for a purpose. And Jesus said, look, the Spirit is upon me to do something. I mean, you could sum all this up in 3 weeks. I'm here to do something. I have the anointing to do something. Not to make people jealous of my experiences. Not so people can look up to me because I'm so awesome. Not so I can get rich off of what God has given me. I have been anointed to do something. If you have been saved, especially if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have been set apart to do something. We're going to say this together. I have been saved to do something. Let's say it together. I have been saved to do something. To do something. And then the church in Ephesus was getting it all messed up. And I'm going to close very soon because I want y'all to hear some of these testimonies. And Paul wanted to talk to this church in Ephesus. And he's like, and y'all are getting it all twisted. He says, listen. And as a side note, I want you to notice as you read the letters that Paul writes, all his pastoral epistles that he writes to the Gentile churches, never once does he say to them, I pray that you recognize how wicked your sin is. He doesn't do it once. He always says, I pray that you recognize who you are in Christ. I'm just going to put that out there. I want you to just meditate on that. If you know, check the word, study that. See, he might have been on to something, but that's neither here nor there. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, Paul says this. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Here's what I want you to focus on, verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, there's two ways to look at this. There's an inheritance in the saints. So you could say, everything Jesus died for, I inherited. Yes, and to that I would say, amen. Amen. Absolutely. Everything that Christ obtained, I can have. Yes. I have found a better way to look at this scripture. I believe that Paul, at least in part, was saying, Jesus died, but you died with him. The world's inheritance is in you. The world has not received from him yet, but you have it. Go give it away. I don't believe Paul wants us to sit around and think, man, I'm so great. Man, I'm so awesome. I didn't realize that I'm like a God. I don't really believe that was his motive. I believe what he was saying was, man, y'all are focusing on all the wrong stuff. You know, there's people, there's Christians who are like, oh man, I only hear God, but I don't see angels. Or I see angels, but I don't see archangels. And oh, I might see archangels, but I didn't see the glory of it. I didn't see it. And then you go to somebody who hasn't eaten in a couple days, never heard of Jesus Christ, and they got a spirit of witchcraft over their entire village. And you think, what am I going to tell them about? What will I share? What is the real gospel? What is the heart of what Christ came to do? Hey, guess what? You don't have to live with sickness and disease. You don't have to be under the power of the devil. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That's the gospel. That's the power. Too much of the charismatic church is trying to get more inheritance in the bank. Because we all have an inheritance. And so much of the charismatic, oh, he's got a little this anointing. Let me go get some of that so I can put that in my bank account. Oh, let me get that. Now I have that in my bank account. And here's how I choose to live my life. I don't live my life trying to see how much I can get in the bank. I'm trying to see how much I can spend. Can I ever get to the bottom of this barrel of inheritance that Jesus Christ has given me? I'm giving out forgiveness. I'm giving out healing. I'm giving out anointing. Oh, you got depression? I'm giving out joy. I'm giving out victory. I'm giving out knowledge. I'm giving out prophecy. Oh, you don't have identity. Let me give out identity. Let me give out hope. Let me give out a future. Let me give out riches. I'm giving. That's my life's goal right there. You have this? I don't know, but let me try to give it away. I'll let you know. It's amazing. You won't know you have a healing gift till you try to get somebody healed. Well, I don't have a healing. How would you know you don't have a healing gift? How do you know you don't have the gift of giving? How do you know? How do you know you don't have a gift of comfort? You don't have a gift of administration. How do you know? Well, I don't know. The Lord has to tell me. Go see. Well, I'm not an evangelist. How would you know you never witnessed nobody in your life? It's amazing how good at it you are when you recognize he died for the world and you just tell them about it and he's the one who does the work. I want you to see this.